Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Restoration Hour this evening. And I pray that you have had a wonderful weekend, a wonderful and great time, a wonderful Shabbat yesterday, and that you're feeling, you know, refreshed and ready for a new week. And so welcome, and we pray that it will be such a wonderful, wonderful time together today. It was quite interesting last week when we had, you know, as some people said, getting rid of all the gremlins that were hanging around. But it was like so incredible to me because there were so many wonderful testimonies of how Abba Father just really blessed people despite all those crazy difficulties that we had and so many things that were happening. And so we're grateful to Abba Father that he's alive and that he is so involved in everything and that he's going to use everything, you know, just to impact our lives and to just touch our lives and to just do incredible things. And so we really welcome the presence of Yeshua here this evening. We really just welcome his presence, the presence of his spirit, just to really touch our hearts, to, you know, change us, to revive us, to speak to us, to really, really just minister to us and to really speak to us in every part that we have need today and every single part of us that is just needing something or needing a touch from him, a word for him. From him, we just really pray that he will just meet us in this place. And so welcome to everybody who's joining us. And Yosef, welcome to you as well. I hope that you have had a blessed week so far.
To be honest, I have had a great week. And like Aaliyah said, you know, last week was crazy, but it was such a good word at the same time. And even though the system crashed on us continually, we were really, really blessed by the things that people said afterwards and how people just, how the word of Yahweh really spoke to their hearts. So I believe again this evening on the Restoration Hour that we're going to hear from the Father's heart and that we're going to hear for this specific season that we're in, Aaliyah. And I really do pray this evening that wherever you are, that you will open up your heart and allow the Spirit of Yahweh to speak to you. And if you have needs this evening, then I pray that you will have the ability this evening and the openness to lay those things before his feet and allow him to speak to you, to touch your heart, and to just empower you for the things that lie ahead in your life and for your future and for the things that Yahweh has in store for you. And I pray for that this evening. So as Aaliyah said, to each and every one of you, we want to say shalom. To those of you that will be listening later, we say shalom too. And we pray that Yahweh will richly bless you as you share with us this evening.
Mm. You know what? It's so great to be here because Abba Father has really laid a scripture on our hearts this evening. And so the very essence and the very crux of what we're going to be sharing about is that magnificent revelation that is spoken by Yeshua in John chapter 6 and in particularly verse 35. Where Yeshua declares, I am the bread of life. And that's really the heart and the cornerstone of the message that we want to share with you today. But we also know that we are going to be talking a little bit around John 6:35, and we're also going to be talking, you know, a little bit more in depth, like we always say. It's not a teaching time, but you are definitely going to learn. And so, you know what, John 6:35, as I said, really is this moment where Yeshua says, I am the bread of life. And I want to read to you these few verses. And then, Yosef, I'm going to ask you, actually, to tell us, you know, what's the context of this? Because we always talk about context. It's very important to know where the scripture is found and what's actually happening. And so it says, then Yeshua declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Mm-hmm. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will not cast out or drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose any of those that he has given me, but I will raise him up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up in those final days. What a beautiful, beautiful promise. Amen. Yosef, I mean, even if we just look at it like that, we can just take it. We can just pluck from it and go, wow, you know what? This is beautiful. This is encouraging. But what is really the context of what is happening here? What's the backstory to him just declaring this?
You know, Leah, it's interesting because like you're saying, there is a backstory. And I think that for most of us, we tend to always go and look, you know, at the I am statements, I am the bread of life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And not only do we look at them, but I think that we tend to look at them because they give us hope and they give us understanding about who Yeshua is. But like you said, there is this context behind this specific passage in John chapter 6 that is actually quite important. Because throughout John chapter 6, all the way through to the end, what Yeshua is actually doing is he's actually declaring himself to be the sustainer and the protector of life. Then, and he's basically telling people that he is the source of life. Because we know that in the ancient world, bread was the sustainer, and it was kind of like the staple food of the time. But what's interesting is I want us just to back up a little bit in chapter 6 and see something very important here. Because it's the time where Yeshua feeds the 5,000. It's also the time where he crosses over to the other side and he disappears away from the crowds. Mm. And what's interesting is that whenever we read about Yeshua and his ministry, we always see that he, you know, he's ministering, but he has his faithful 12 disciples with him. But at the same time, when he ministers, there's always a large crowd of people that's following him. And the scripture actually says a multitude of people were with him. And if you take just that word multitude and you go and look, you know, at the book of Revelation, and you see it talks about a multitude of people at the same time. So we need to understand something about what's going on here. And it says in John chapter 6, it says, afterwards, Yeshua went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd kept following him. Now hear what it says. Because they were watching the signs he was performing on the sick. Now, we need to understand something. These people, they haven't come to the understanding yet that this is truly the Messiah and that he's the sustainer of life. Instead, they're following him wherever he goes because of the signs and the miracles that he's doing. Because not only does the signs and miracles bring healing to the people around him, but at a later stage, they're following him. And he says to them, you know, in this passage, he says to them, you only follow me because of the food that you received. You're not following me because of who I am. You're not following me for anything else, but you're actually just following me because I gave you food that sustained you. I gave you this bread. Remember, he feeds the 5,000 and there's a whole lot left over afterwards. And he feeds them and he says to them specifically, you're actually just following me because of the signs that I'm performing. And you know what's interesting too, Elias, is that this multitude of people, they follow him all the time. And then later in the Gospels, we also see where the disciples say to him, but why do you speak to us so plainly? But to them, you speak in parables. And Yeshua says to them very clearly, he says, because forever they are seeing, but never ever, and I'm paraphrasing, never ever coming to a deeper understanding of the truth. And you know, Leah, that's exactly how it is today. There are so many people today, a multitude of people who believe in Messiah Yeshua, but yet they believe in him only because of what they can get, not because of what they can give, not because they've come to a point where they realize that this life and this service is about worshiping Yahweh in spirit and in truth. It's not about what we can get. Yes, he's our sustainer. But if we don't understand that he's our sustainer in a spiritual sense, we're always going to be looking for the physical things. We're always going to be looking for the money. We're always going to be looking for the food on our table. We're always going to be looking for the clothes on our back and not realizing the truth of the scriptures when he says, you know, if I feed the birds, how much more will I give to you? If I look after them, how much more will I look after you? So what he's trying to tell this crowd is that you only follow me because of the signs. And brothers and sisters, today, I need to say this to you. There is a great multitude of people that are only following Yeshua for the signs. And we need to get to a point where we realize, like we spoke last week about the two spies and the 10. Remember, we spoke about it and we said that those 10 spies went to view the land, a land that Yahweh had given them, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land that was so fruitful. But when they came back and they saw, you know, the inhabitants of the land, they were filled with fear. And they came back and they gave a wrong report. Mm-hmm. And because of that wrong report, they sowed division among Yahweh's people. And they took what? The multitude of people, Israel, with them. And those people sided with them. And they believed the lie, the false teachings that the leaders, those were leaders, the false report that the leaders were giving to them, the people believed. But yet there were two who wholeheartedly served Yahweh from the house of Judah and the house of Ephraim. Caleb and Joshua served Yahweh with their whole heart and they had a different report. And this is exactly what this passage of scripture with Yeshua is talking about. Those who serve him, because of the signs. In these last days, it says very, very clearly, it says, a wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. If we're only serving Yahweh for what we can get and not understanding the truth that's about to be said to them, that He is the bread of life, the sustainer of everything, we are going to fall trap, Aaliyah, to becoming part of that multitude that was actually swept away. When judgment came, they fell into the pit because they were following after the lie. Let us be people that stop and pause for a second and ask the Father clearly, why do I do what I do? Do I really fully, truly understand that Yeshua is the bread of life? And what does that mean for me as a believer?
You know, Yosef, just to take it further, because there's so much in this passage that we can unpack. But, you know, to take it further, Yeshua does say to them that, exactly like you said, you know, you're not looking for me. You are looking for these miraculous signs. Just because you ate the loaves and had your fill, you do not work for food that spoils, but for that, the food that endures for eternal life. And the thing about it is, it's actually very easy to not get caught up in things like, oh, you know, food on your table or money in the bank or whatever. Those things, I think sometimes for some believers, it's easy to lay those things down. But you know what? These people weren't just looking for those things. Maybe that was their thing. But the deeper reality was that they were attracted to the earthly. They were attracted to that which was temporary because they didn't have a mindset to see what was everlasting. And that is a key lesson for all of us in our lives, no matter what we do. You know, I know a lot of people who, for example, specifically, I know quite a few young people at this point who are, you know, meeting, you know, a guy or meeting a girl, and those people are saved and they get into relationships. And those relationships, you know, because they think this person is saved and they're on the same path, some of those relationships are taking them away from the absolute eternal destiny, not from salvation, but from the absolute eternal destiny that Yahweh has for that individual. And when you say to them, listen, this person isn't good for you because they are not actually looking at your eternal destiny. In other words, the purpose that you have on this earth, the person that you are supposed to be, the calling that Yahweh has in your life, the purpose that He has for you specifically. They are compromising on that. It's easy to meet someone that's radically saved. And someone else may be wonderfully saved, but may not be the person for you, as an example. So for someone who maybe they really want to meet that soulmate, you know, they want to meet that person they've been waiting for, been praying for years, they end up meeting the wrong person. And then because it's temporary, in other words, you know, I want to settle down, I want to get married, I want to have a family, that is actually very temporary. That is only going to last 30, 40, 50, 60 years if we're blessed. Eternal life is forever. And eternal life is not just about salvation. It's about what we bring to Yeshua from our life. When we stand before Him on that day, we need to be able to say, I've given everything for you. I'm emptied out of my giftings, of my talents, of my purpose, because I sold it all, because I gave it all, because I used it all. Mm-hmm. Not because I sold it all, because I ended up being with the wrong person. Because why? Because my mind was fixed on the earthly. My mind was fixed on, I want to get married, Yeshua. I want to have a family. I want to settle down. I want to have a house. I want to have those are the earthly things. Just this week, speaking to someone else again who's been in a very long-term relationship, who was saying that their partner can't actually commit even though they are saved, but yet they're willing to just, you know, go along with it even though they know it's not Yeshua's perfect will. It's this sacrifice that we make for something that's temporary, and that may be an Achilles heel, so to speak, for one person. But for someone else, it may be something else. For someone else, it may be, what is your temporary thing that you look at? And sometimes even the earthly could mean that we are very, very focused on our work and we become workaholics and it's temporary. But our focus is not on what's eternal. And I think that that is always something that we can be looking at, Yosef. Always something that we can be asking ourselves, not from a guilt perspective, because we are in the faith. We know Yeshua is the bread of life. We are being sustained by Him every day as full-on believers. We are being changed by Him. We are chosen by Him. We are loved by Him. We know these truths. And we live in it. I believe that the that the people on the coffee break today and that will listen know this truth. They don't need to know the elementary things such as, oh, you know, it's not about money or whatever. They don't need to know those things. But what we all need to know is always, where is our mindset? Is it on the temporary? Are we at a point where, and I'm just using the relationship thing as an example because it is something that so many people do. Something that so many people in the faith, I see them do. Even they in the Torah faith and they meet someone who isn't, but is saved. And then that person takes them away from following wholeheartedly this truth. And why? It's because I'm actually sacrificing what is eternal and who I can become and who I'm destined to be because I want something that is temporary. And that is a marriage, a relationship, children. And so there's always these things in our life that we have to be asking ourselves, do I have an eternal mindset? And part of an eternal mindset is being who Yahweh created us to be. Yeshua had a destiny for this multitude, and that was for them to be specific in his kingdom. That was for each one of them to have a specific purpose. That was why the 12 disciples, we can actually say the 11 without Judas, but each of them had a specific destiny, and Yeshua was so interested in who they needed to become. And that was why he walked with them. And that was what he had for everybody. That's what he has for us. We see that transformation in Peter from being this guy who was completely led by emotion one moment and up and down and, you know, doubted himself, doubted who he could become. That was why he was sinking on the water when he was walking to Yeshua, because he didn't believe in himself. It wasn't that he didn't believe in Yeshua. He didn't believe in who he was, that he could walk on water with Yeshua if that was Yeshua's purpose for his life. But over and over again, through those years that Yeshua spent with him, through Yeshua's death and resurrection and meeting him on the beach, you know, for a barbecue of fish, eventually Peter realizes that it is really about his destiny. It really is about who he is. And he shouldn't, in those moments, focus on what is temporary. He's feeling his fear of Yeshua going away, because that's what kept Peter reacting. Please don't leave. And then Yeshua's like, get behind me, Satan. When they come and arrest Yeshua, he takes the sword out and cuts the servant's ear off. It's because his fear is temporary. He doesn't want Yeshua to leave because he's scared of what's going to happen when Yeshua's not there. But the greater destiny was he needed to become somebody that would carry on the work of Messiah Yeshua when Yeshua was away. So instead of clutching to Yeshua because of fear of what would happen if his rabbi wasn't there, he actually needed Yeshua to go away in order to become exactly who he needed to be.
You know, Leah, on this, you know, the subject that we're talking about, I think it's also, like you're saying, it's a fine line that we need to be balanced people. It's like, you know, like you said, if we are entering into, for one, a relationship, a marriage, or into friendships or business or whatever it is, we have to have a fine line. There has to be a line drawn to say that, you know, we have to be careful not to become so earthly minded that we forget about the spiritual. And we've said this once before too. What are you building with? If we continue to build in this life with just bricks and sticks and stones, you know, in the end, Yeshua himself says that everything will be tested with fire. And those things that we build with today that are temporary, like with bricks and with sticks and with stones, those things are going to be burnt up in the fire of Yahweh at the end of days. And only those things that we build that are eternal, that are for his kingdom, that are, you know, those precious things that he wants us to build with, only those things are going to remain. There's nothing wrong with getting married. There's nothing wrong with seeking, you know, a partner for life. But when these things take us away from the calling and the destiny that Yahweh has for us, then we tend to be building only with these bricks. And when, like you said, a lot of people struggle today with fear. They struggle with the fact of getting out of that comfort zone, that earthly comfort zone that puts us in that place of saying, well, you know what, my house, my job, my car, my children, my family, it's a secure place. But we need to, in these final generation days, we have to get out of that comfort zone and say, Yahweh, what have you created me to do? And I want to build with kingdom blocks. I want to build with things that are going to have eternal reward, because in the end, he's going to look at you and he's not going to care about your husband and your daughter, your child. He's going to care about what you did with your life. Every single one of us is going to have to give reckon for our lives and the things that he has placed within us. He's going to look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and inherit this kingdom. And yeah, you know what? Because you did this, here is the crown for you. Here is the things of rewards for your life. Because you didn't just build with bricks and sticks. You built with what is inside of you and you pursued his presence. That's the bottom line. When we pursue the presence of Yahweh, he enables us and helps us to become people that he wants us to be.
So in other words, Yosef, when I stand there one day and I haven't reached my destiny, I can't say to Yeshua, well, Yosef didn't allow me to, or exactly. Yosef didn't want me to, or Yosef didn't whatever, because ultimately life is always a choice. And Amen. It's about, I can't say that you didn't allow me to, because I have to have that power in my hands to say, well, whether my family, you know, doesn't want me to, or whether you don't want me to, or my cats don't want me to, I need to do this because I want to, because I love Yeshua. And I think that's such an important reality. No one holds the power of our life in their hand. You know, people want us to believe that they do, like abusers, you know, they always want to be the ones in control. But, you know, ultimately, we hold the power of our lives in our hands, and we can decide what we're going to do with our life.
Amen. And you know, Yeshua says himself, he says that, you know, your family will hate you. Your family will disown you. Your family will not understand when you stand up for him and when you do what is right. And that's just how it's going to be in the end. And we have to make a choice and say, you know, are we building for his kingdom? And Yeshua came. That's the one thing that Yeshua did. He came to reveal the kingdom of his Father. Every single thing that he did, no matter how strange it might have looked to his disciples, no matter how strange the timing might have been for some of the things that he did, he was always in time because he was doing and fulfilling the will of his Father, and he was doing exactly what his Father asked him to do, and he was building the kingdom, allowing the kingdom of his Father to be revealed here among us. So we now have that same task to reveal the kingdom of our Father in this generation, because he wants to return. And it says that in Acts chapter 3 verse 19 to 21, so that the times of refreshing might come from the Master. So we need to be preaching repentance to people and building the kingdom of Yahweh now more than ever.
I love this. You know, it was so much about the temporary for them, and so much about the immediate, and so much about the instant gratification. And I take away two things from that. And I want to say this before we go to a song. One is I see this, you know, often with these kind of, I'm going to say it very plainly, our new generation mega churches, you know, where it's always about motivational speaking, and it's always about, you know, God's got you, and be encouraged. And that is so very temporary, and it's very earthly, and it's not the deeper things of Yahweh. It's not the deeper spiritual things. But then the other part of that is, you know, many of us are not involved in that. So what is this for us? And it's about asking Yeshua for the spiritual things. It's about asking him to give us a spiritual mindset, and to maybe come to him and to say to him, what is the eternal things that you have for me to begin doing now? Because I think that is so powerful and beautiful to realize, Yosef. When we realize, we think about our life, and sometimes it's scary because we're like, well, we're going to die. And even for you and I, we were talking this week, you know, watching our parents getting older, and it's very scary. You know, for some people, they've already, you know, said goodbye to their family members, and for others, we watch our family members getting older, and it's very hard. And it's like, wow, you know, as children, you realize you're going to bury your parents, for example, and this life is so short, and it's very temporary. But what we can take with us that is eternal and doesn't go with us into the grave is what we begin to do here now for the kingdom of Yeshua. Amen. Because those things will stand, not just for our children or for their children or for a nation that we have a burden for, or the prayers we've prayed, or the intercession we've done, or the mission trips we've, you know, gone on, or the seeds we've planted, spiritual, the disciples we've made, hopefully. But really, it's about, I can do things in this life now that will, you know what, continue to eternity. It has eternal value. It is worthwhile in the kingdom. It's kind of like, I see it as like when you do something that Yahweh just destined you to do, when you are in that complete obedience and alignment with Him, it's like these little fireworks that go off in the spirit realm, up maybe up there, or you know what, somewhere. It just goes off. And Yahweh's like, yes, you know, you did that thing, you fulfilled it, you did your task. You know, and I don't know about you that is listening. I know for me and Yosef, I know for you, there have been moments where we've done things where Yahweh has told us to. You know, I have such vivid memories of these important moments where Yeshua has said, I want you to get into your car. I want you to go there. I want you to do that. I want you to meet that person. I want you to say that. I want you to get back in and come back home. And we've done that, you know, and there's such a powerful moment that happens when you do that, get in the car and drive back home. And there's a feeling of a depth of a spiritual reality that just happened. And that doesn't always happen. I mean, really, most of the time we're doing things that you don't feel that way. But there are moments where you realize that depth. And I think that that is what we need to know and understand, that when we do things that have eternal value, there are fireworks that go off. And that's what Yeshua is saying here. Ask for things that are eternal. Yes, this is about salvation. But once we have salvation, we can continue to go to Him and say to Him, what is it now? You know, what is the next step for me? What is my destiny now? What is my purpose in the season? What is the eternal brick that I need to lay now? You know, what is that? Give it to me and continue to eat from Him. You know what? Bread was called the staff of life, actually, Yosef. 3/4 of the ancient Near Eastern world lived on bread every day. And depending on how rich you were, and depending on, you know, your level in society, would determine what kind of bread that you would actually eat. And so bread was so significant to them at that time. We just like, oh, it's bread. You know, we're getting rid of carbs. We don't even eat the stuff. But to them, it was like so significant. And I'm going to end off with this tiny little thing before we go to the song. You know, we talk about breaking of bread, right? And we read it often in the scriptures, and particularly in the book of Acts. And we see it also in the Old Testament where they're breaking bread. Now, do you know where that actually comes from? It's actually this beautiful reality that in the ancient Near Eastern world, particularly the Israelites and many of the different people that lived at that time, was that they believed that bread was really sacred, that you don't cut it with a knife. You never, ever, ever, you'll see this today, actually among people that live in Israel, particularly among Palestinians, particularly people that live in that area, the bread is considered sacred. So you never take a knife to it. And so you got to break it. And we share it by breaking it. And if you come in the door while we're busy breaking bread and you're like, hi, everybody, you know, you're like, oh, hi, hi, hi. And I'm breaking bread with, you know, Marilise, and we're breaking the bread and we're fellowshipping. We don't greet you, because the moment that we're in of breaking that bread is considered incredibly sacred. It's only once you come sit down at the table and break bread with us do we greet you, because bread was seen as this stuff that was so holy, that was so God send, that we don't take a knife to it, we don't cut it, we break it and we share it. And Yeshua understood all of this. He knew all of that. Yeah. And so we need to see it like that. He's saying that, you know, He is the one, He is the sustenance. We should, you know, live with Him and have our relationship with Him in that sense of awe, in that sense of, man, I'm eating of some sacred stuff because I'm eating from Yeshua. And it is so beautiful. We miss out on all these beautiful things. And so we're going to go to our first song of the evening. I want to tell you something. This song is my song right now. I love the song. And I hope that some of you have already heard it. We're going to play it for you. It's called Jireh. And it is such a beautiful song. Enjoy it. And we'll see you when we get back.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Oh.
Going
Just go, and if you have not heard that song yet, then go and listen to the full song, because it's a 10-minute song, so we had to you know, cut it a little bit this evening. But it is such a beautiful song, and that is just the song. I don't know, it is just the song. It is absolutely beautiful. The beginning of that song, Yosef, makes me cry, like, incredible. It's because, you know, it is so true what that song says. It's like, you know, we are so loved the way that we are, and it's incredible with just to have that fact and to know that fact and to know that, you know, I love that part where he says, you know, I'm not holding you up, so I can't let you down. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful, because it's not about what we can do. It's not about our works. It's not about letting Father down or failing him or any of those things. It's just he loves us, and he wants us to just come to him and to just be with him. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If you're just joining the Restoration Hour, welcome. You know, and also we've been really, really reflecting on the scripture in John chapter 6, where Yeshua says, I am the bread of life. And speaking of coming to Yeshua, is where I want to also get you to today. Because I read in the beginning a couple of these verses, and I'm going to really, really just read some of it again. And he says that, obviously, you know, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and do not believe. And then he goes on in verse 37 and says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast away, and I will never drive away. And that is such an invitation. And if you were here with us on the Restoration Hour, I think 2-3 weeks ago, we spoke about the parable of the prodigal son.
That's right.
And the coming, you know, the prodigal son coming to the father, but the father also coming to the prodigal son. And that word kataphilia, which is just now forever embedded in my mind, where it says that the father kissed the son, but it actually means to kiss over and over and over again. And it's just this consistent love that is just poured out. And Yeshua is saying here that the person who comes to me, you know what, I'm not going to drive them away. I'm not going to say no, you know, and whoever comes to me is not going to be thirsty anymore. Is not going to be hungry anymore, because he's ultimately the ultimate satisfaction. But what he's actually saying also is that my arms are open. And I love actually what Charles Spurgeon says, and I really quite enjoy Spurgeon. He was a really, really devoted, you know, man of God. And he says there that this coming is performed by desire, the desire for Yeshua. It's performed by prayer. It's performed by consent, by thirsting, by trusting, and by obedience. Coming is an action, and it's simple. And it just means that we come through our obedience, through our prayer, you know, through consent. We consent to wanting to come to him. But then also it requires trust, trusting that Yeshua is good, and that he loves us, and that when we come to him, he's not going to cast us away.
You know, Leah, I'm reminded of an old song that says, you know, hungry I come to him. And you know, there's the Beatitudes where it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I think that that's the key point that Yeshua is wanting us to understand, that it's when we put that hunger on display that he will be our satisfaction. He will be the one that sustains us. He will be the one that fills us. But it's got to do, like you said, with us letting go of our fears. We got to learn to let go of ourselves. We got to learn to let go of our inhibitions, you know, the things that hold us back. And I think that's where we struggle as human beings. I think that we as people, we like to say, well, I understand, you know, that Yeshua is the sustainer. I understand that Yeshua is the bread of life. But do we really? Do we really, really understand that he wants to give us everything that we need for this life and for godliness, that he wants to sustain us in such a powerful way that we are no longer filled with fear or doubts or questions about ourselves, but where we can find our identity and who we are in him? But it's got to do with that thing of coming and putting our hunger on display and putting our hearts open to him, because it's all about hungering and thirsting after his righteousness so that he can fill us and that he can sustain us.
You know, Yosef and I, we were by a garden center just looking at plants, you know, this week. And there were lots of different like pots there, you know, big pots for your garden. And we were just walking around, just looking at these wonderful flowers and plants, just having a good old look. And the next minute, Yosef like turns around and sees this massive, massive pot that looked like this massive, massive jar. I mean, it's like,
it was humongous,
super tall. And he's just staring at this pot. The next minute, he's like, I think that this is the jar that the lady with the alabaster jar had. You know, this is how we've got to come to Yeshua. So trust Yosef to see this in the garden center, because he's just like, this is the jar. We got to come with our jar. And that's what you're saying as well. Like,
amen.
I mean, I know you always talk about that when we are at camps. Like, you know, when we come to this place, like, how big is our bucket? Do we bring one of those tiny ones we take to the beach? And then he's only going to fill us that much? Or did we bring that massive jar and go, Abba Father, I'm here. You're going to meet with me. I'm coming and I'm putting this hunger on display. Mm-hmm. You know, and the beautiful thing that Yeshua also says here, he says that, you know, whoever comes to me, I'm not going to lose them. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is knowing today and every day that he is safe, but also that he's going to keep us safe. And he says, I'm not going to lose those, you know. I shall lose none of them that have been given to me, but raise them up at the last day. He keeps us safe. Mm-hmm. When we come to him and we're just there, he keeps us safe when we're there with him. And, you know, Yosef, it's very easy to say, you know, just come to Yeshua. Mm-hmm. If you meet somebody on the street, say for example, a homeless person on the street who has been in a home where that person start out, because no one starts out on the street, not most people don't, but that person maybe came from a broken family where they weren't wanted, and they end up on the street, they end up drinking, they end up in drugs, they end up living on the street. And we come and we say, you know what, brother, we start sharing, you know, about Yeshua, and we say, just come to him. You know, we need to realize that that coming to Yeshua is not easy for everybody. And you don't have to be a homeless person on the street to be that. It can be me and it can be you.
Right.
Because we have been, as human beings, all of us have been so let down by people around us. You know, sometimes we've been let down by our fathers, which is a big thing in this world. Fathers tend to have this way of inflicting father wounds on children that's crazy and something that they will have to overcome. And we also have mother wounds. But because we carry these things, and because, you know, we have broken relationships sometimes, and, you know, maybe we date when we're younger and we experience broken trust, and broken trust in our colleagues and our friends and marriages, it becomes hard to fully, at the deepest level of ourselves, believe 100%, experiencing that belief in our heart, in our spirit, in our soul, in our mind, that Yeshua is completely safe and I can come to him fully vulnerable. And I'm going to say that openly, because the truth is that a lot of believers say, oh, I know Yeshua is safe, I like going to Yeshua. There are so many speakers today and teachers today that are actually teaching some powerful truths about vulnerability, and their teachings are touching people in a powerful way. Because the one thing we as human beings struggle with, a lot of things, but the one thing that we struggle with a lot is vulnerability. We don't like to be vulnerable to one another as human beings, but we also need to realize that that echoes into our relationship with Yeshua. The coming to him is about vulnerability. It's about being completely real. And sometimes Torah and keeping the Torah actually can mask that really well. Because we do works of Torah, we feel that we are okay with the Father. And no one is going to admit to that. It takes a lot to admit to that. But sometimes people, they keep the Torah, and because they keep Shabbat, because they keep the feast, they feel good about their relationship with the Father. But what that is actually just masking is your works making you not feel guilty about not being completely vulnerable and about not being completely feeling safe with Yeshua. That feeling of feeling safe with someone takes many years and takes a lot of trust. To feel safe in a marriage takes a very long time. When trust is broken, for example, it will take even longer to establish that safety. To feel safe in friendships takes a very long time. How do you know your friends are going to gossip about you? How do you know they're not going to backstab you? It takes a very long time to build up that trust level. And it's the same with Yeshua. And we don't have to feel bad about that, you know. It takes a long time. And sometimes Yeshua does things in a life that actually makes no sense and actually can feel quite hurtful sometimes. And then the trust almost feels broken from our side. And so then we start it again. And it's okay, but that's what he's saying here. He said, come to me. I'm not going to drive you away. I'm also going to keep you safe until we can deal with these things, until I can help you heal. It's okay to be where you are right now. But you know what? I am safe and I'll be safe for you.
You know, Leah, that thing of vulnerability, I think, is a big thing for a lot of us. And, you know, right in the Garden of Eden, when we read in Genesis with Adam and Eve, right in the very beginning, we read how they were vulnerable with Yahweh. They were able to just be themselves. They never knew the difference between, you know, what was sin and what wasn't. It was just living in Yahweh's presence. And they were naked and it was okay. And there was nothing wrong with it. But as soon as they sinned, and sin enters in, they have this immediate reaction to how they looked, and this thing of, you know, I'm naked. And it's not so much about just the nakedness, it's about the fact that then they wanted to cover themselves. It was this thing of shame. I need to cover my body. And the same thing applies with us today. Sin enters into our lives and it causes us not to be able to be vulnerable before the Father, because the sin or the things that we carry around with us leads us to feel guilty, or leads us to feel that we're not worthy to be able to stand in Yahweh's presence and just be ourselves. And all through the whole time, you know, if you think about people when they get married, the hardest thing for people is when they're naked, when they're standing, you know, together. The intimacy side for people is sometimes difficult because we feel ashamed of how we look, or we feel ashamed of how we feel when we like that, because of, you know, the sin and things like that. But in Yahweh, it's not only about, you know, the physical of being naked. It's about being able to be vulnerable in front of Him and not having to cover ourselves, not to cover, you know, our shame and hide away from Him. And that's how it was in the garden. They were able to stand in Yahweh's presence as they were. So when we are restored and when we renewed in Yahweh, and we are able to say, well, you know what, Yahweh, you have redeemed me, you set me free, even though the enemies may be accusing me, maybe even though I feel sometimes guilty, or sometimes I feel like I'm not the best person that I am, we should still understand that He is a loving Father and that we can come and be vulnerable to Him. He is not going to be, sorry to put it like this, He's not going to be that intercessor or that, you know, that discipleship person that you go to and tell you your problems to, and next week He goes and blurts it out to the whole world. That is not Yeshua. Yeshua is a loving Father that's going to protect you and look after you and build you up so that you can become more vulnerable in front of Him, and eventually you will be able to become the person that you need to be, because it's not going to be shameful or awkward when you're called upon by Yahweh to even stand up in front of someone else and speak what Yahweh says to you. You're not going to feel weird, because it's going to be all about standing in Yahweh's power and in His presence.
Mm. And you know, Yosef, that requires a level of honesty with ourselves as well that few people exercise. Mm. It's like sometimes we will feel something, but we don't know why, you know. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can say, why am I feeling this? Actually, okay, I do actually have a problem with this other person. Or, oh, actually, you know, it is actually... I'm working out of a wound here. Mm. I actually need to deal with this. And in the world, we call that emotional intelligence. We call it insight into ourselves. And those are great words. And it also is something that we need to begin to learn in our relationship with Yeshua. That, you know, the more insight we have into why we react the way we do, or why we think the way we do, or what is happening in our lives, the more vulnerable we can get with Him and say, okay, Abba Father, you know what? I actually carry a little bit of toxicness in myself. So I'm not always a good friend to my friends because I actually am dealing with X, Y, and Z, and I don't really know how to be this. So please, I open up this place and let you in and say, please help me. And so it requires this consistent insight and being vulnerable and saying, you know what? I want to be open with you, Yeshua. I want to be vulnerable with you. And I want to be able to come to you in my fullness. As He says here, you know, come to me. If we fully come to Him, we're not going to thirst. We're not going to hunger. Mm-hmm. He is more than enough for all those places within us that still need that restoration. And it's so beautiful to consider, I am the bread of life. In other words, I am everything that you will ever, ever need. You know, today, maybe it would be different and Yeshua would say, you know, I am, what do you have on your plate? You know, you have your vegetables and you have your starch and you have your protein. So, you know, I'm all those things, you know, I'm absolutely everything that you need. Now, to them, the bread was sustenance. It was absolutely everything. And it was just, you know, life, the stuff of life. It was what it was all about. And so today, Yeshua is still saying the same thing to us. He's still inviting us into that same place to realize, I am absolutely everything that you need. So don't worry about, you know, what you're going through right now. We are going to get through it together. Just come to me. I will not lose you. I will keep you safe. You are in a safe space and we're going to walk this out together until the final days. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be with you always, even until the end of the age, is a promise. If we stay in Him, if we stay by Him. And so this evening, we want you to be encouraged to know that no matter what it looks like, no matter what's going on. Abba Father is saying, you know, consistently come to me. I am the bread of life. I will satisfy, and I'm more than enough. Amen. And so this evening, we want to go to our final song. And during this song, we just want the song to minister to you. And we also know that when we come back, we're going to have a time of prayer. So if you have anything that you have a prayer request for, you are welcome to share that. Otherwise, we will just pray for you as we are led. So enjoy. The song is called Your Will, Your Way.
Come alive, river flows through me, river flows through me. Your will, your way, do whatever you want to.
Father, we just want to thank you this evening in the name of Yeshua, Father, for this time, Father, that we can come together. Thank you, Abba, Father, that we can come and understand, Yeshua, that you are the bread of life, that you are the sustainer, that you want us to be vulnerable in front of you, but you also want to empower us And you want us to be people, Father, who draw from you, Yahweh, so that we can give out that life to others, so that we can be a vessel of your glory and of your light. Father, I want to pray in the name of Yeshua this evening, Father, that every single one that has joined us, Father, tonight, Father, that you will continue to fill them until they overflow with your Ruach. I pray, Father, that they will grow, that they will become the people that you've created them to be. I pray, Father, that anything, Yahweh, that might hinder them, Father, from just stepping out, stepping forward, Father, anything that they might still struggle with, Father, I pray in the name of Yeshua that you will help them, Father, and that those things will be removed in the name of Yeshua. I pray too, Father, tonight to say thank you, Yahweh. Thank you for their lives. Thank you, Father, that they're serving you. Thank you, Father, that they have put their foot, Father, one in front of the other, and that you are leading them. I pray, Abba, Father, that you will continue to empower your people, Father, in this generation, that you will continue to pour out your Spirit in their lives, Father, that the fire of your presence will burn in their lives, that in their families, Father, that in their working communities, in their communities, wherever they are, Father, that they will be a true light of your presence and of your glory. I pray, Father, that every place that they go to in this generation, Father, wherever they go, Father, that people will see that these are true children of the King. And Father, that there will be conversation, Father, and that there will be changed lives, Father, because of the lives that they live. And we thank you for them. Father, we thank you that they're faithfully serving you. Many people, Father, that listen to this time, Father, this restoration hour, we know that they are faithfully serving you. And I pray, Father, that in the times where they feel weak, in the times, Father, where they feel downcast, in the times, maybe, Father, where they feel like the road ahead is so long, I pray, Father, that you will take hold of them and that you will lead them and guide them. I pray, Father, that you will encourage them through the power of your Spirit. And Father, that they will know, Yahweh, that you are with them. And Father, that you will never leave them nor forsake them. For you are their King. You are their Sustainer. You are the bread of life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And you are the one, Father, that has redeemed them and set them free. So we pray, Abba Father, may you protect them, may you keep them, may you grant unto your people wisdom in this time that we find ourselves in. May you give unto them, Father, the eyes to see in the name of Yeshua, Father, and a heart, Father, for the nations and for your people in this time. And we thank you for them, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Messiah Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Father, I just really, really want to lift Colleen up to you. And Father, we just really want to lift her mom up to you as well. Father, we know that we prayed for her already a few, you know, a few weeks ago. But Father, we just really want to lift her and her mom up to you, Father. We want to pray right now that you will go and comfort her mom, Father, that you will bless her, that you will keep her, that you will make your face to shine upon her. Give Colleen all strength, all encouragement, all comfort, Father, at this time. And may your will be done for their lives right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, I just really pray that you'll be power and that you'll be strength to them in their life right now, Father. And we thank you for the many wonderful years that Colleen's mom has had and that they've had together, Father. What a blessed thing to hear. 91 years old is such a blessed, blessed age as well. And we thank you for those years. And we pray right now, Father, that again, may your will alone be done in this situation. Hold Colleen up in Yeshua's name. Hold her up. Give her strength. Give her wisdom. Give her the daily strength that she needs, that daily bread that she needs, Father, that daily sustaining that she needs as she takes care of her mom and as she gives of herself, Father. I pray that you will just, Father, really, really pour back into her heart, into her life daily in the mighty name of Yeshua. And let your will be done for this family. Bless them, Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we pray. Amen.
Father, we also just want to lift up Solomon and his family to you, Father. We want to thank you for their lives. I want to thank you, Father, for the fact that they serve you in spirit and in truth. And Father, we know that when a father steps up, Father, and when family steps up and prays for their children, Father, that it is powerful. And I want to pray in the name of Yeshua tonight, Father, for his daughters. I want to pray, Father, that their hearts will be open to understand, Father, the heart of Messiah Yeshua. We pray, Father, against the spirit of depression in the name of Yeshua. We pray, Father, that you, by the power of your Spirit, Father, will minister to that young girl. Father, I pray that the spirit of depression will be broken in her life, Father, and that she will not have to be under its grip, Father, or under its control in the name of Yeshua. We also pray, Father, that they will become this deep desire, Father, this hunger and thirst, Father, for the Word. This hunger and thirst, Father, for the truth. This hunger and thirst, Father, for a deeper relationship with you, Yeshua, to know you in the beauty of holiness, to know you in the way that you want to be known, Father. I pray, Father, Yahweh, that you will go, and in the name of Yeshua, that you will reveal yourself to these girls. And Father, that they will understand and that they will know that you are their King, that you are their Father, that you are the one that created them, redeemed them, and wants to set them free. Father, we pray also for Solomon and his wife. Father, that you will grant unto them wisdom, that you will grant unto them, Father, this peace that far surpasses all understanding. And Father, that when they pray, I pray, Abba Father, that you will hear their prayers. And Father, that they will see, Father, the fruits of those prayers in the name of Yeshua. And Father, that there will come change, not in the years to come, but in the weeks to come, Father, that there will be change, and that it will be a testimony, Father, not only to them, but also to others. And we thank you for this. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for their hearts. And we thank you, Father, for their willingness to serve you and to continue to fight the good fight of faith. And we thank you for them. In Messiah Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, we just want to also pray, Father, that you'll be with each and every single one of us as we go out into this new week that lay ahead for us, Father. Whatever divine appointments you have for us, may we meet them, Father. Whatever divine miracles you want us to see and experience this week, may we see and experience it, Father, for those who are waiting for financial help, Father, or breakthroughs, Father, even in our family members or in our communities. Wherever we see it, Father, we pray that that will break, Father, and that there will come release in that area. Father, we pray for those who are leaning into you, Father, for healing, Father, whether it be for their bodies, whether it be for their emotions, whether it be for their thoughts, whether it be for their hearts or their souls. Father, we pray that they will experience that breakthrough this week in the mighty name of Yeshua, that you'll come and pour your love and your healing out upon them. And Father, we just lift up all of our hearts to you this evening. We want to pray, Father, that your will be done in our hearts and lives. We pray that we will daily eat from the fact that Yeshua, you are the bread of life. I pray that each one of us will be shining lights in this generation as never ever before. We know that as the days get darker, Father, that we can be great light, Father, that we know that this darkness will not overcome the light that is going to shine and does shine and will shine and will continue to shine through us in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, I pray that you will lead and guide all of us step by step, each and every single day, and that you, Father, will make your face to shine upon us. I pray that we will all become, Father, the people that you have created us to be, that we will have exactly what you have for us, Father, whether it be some of us are going to have those burning bush experiences and be fully told that we're going to be a Moses type figure, Father. I pray that we will have that, where we are fully told that we are going to be a Paul and we're going to have those experiences. May we have that, Father, where you want to take us to, you know, share your word, Father, whether it be with one person, whether it be with a nation, Father, let that be. Release us into everything you have for us, and may we have all of those experiences and experience those divine miracles along the way. We thank you, Father, and we give you all the praise today, and we just give you just so much praise, Father, and we are so grateful for all of this. In the mighty name of Yeshua Messiah we pray, amen. You know what, it's been so good to be with you on the Restoration Hour. It's been such a blessing. This week, I have really just enjoyed being in the Word and fellowshipping with you all. So we really want to pray that you will have such a Shavua Tov, and we can't wait to see you again next week.
Is next week the last week for a few weeks?
Yes, next week is the last week for those who do, you know, get our newsletter. We are moving, praise Yeshua. So please keep us in prayer as we make this transition for our family on our side, relocating. Please keep us in prayer. And you know what? Abba Father is good and is taking care of us along the way. So we just want to be completely protected and shielded by him. So next week is the 20th of June, and it is our last... Is it our last Restoration Hour? I'm sure, yes, it is our last Restoration Hour, I believe. But yeah, we are looking forward to seeing you then.
And not the last, just the last for like 2 weeks.
No, not the last. Yeah. Not like, you know, it's ending. It's not a Lazarus. Yeah, no. Yes. We're not putting it in the tomb. It is legitimately just because we are moving and have to get our internet installed. So yeah, it is probably the last one for a little bit. And so, you know what? Again, have a good week. And yes, we will see you next time.
Next week. Shalom.
be forgotten, there is a name. Forever on our lips, there is a fire. Still burning on the altar, there is no greater name than this. Yes, you are. Yes, you are God who saves. Yes, you are. Yes, you are God who saves.
Yes, you are.